I invite all of you to stand as you are able for the gospel. The Holy Gospel today comes from the book of St. John, the 15th chapter, beginning with the 9th verse. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. My dearest siblings, especially all of our family members who are here for our confirmation students, grace and peace to you from God our Creator, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I do want to share something with you before I go into my sermon. Every first call pastor has to do a mandatory 3 years at the first church that they go to. They are not allowed to leave in those first 3 years. And then once those 3 years are up, they are now free to interview at any church in the United States. Well, guess what? I had my annual evaluation with our executive council just a few days ago, and it was not until that time that I realized my 3 years are up. And I share that because that is a testament to all of you. I have colleagues who count down the days until their 3 years are up, especially the ones who get sent to the Midwest. But I forgot about it. I completely forgot about this three-year timeline, and that is an affirmation of the love that I feel from all of you, the love that I have for you, and don't worry, Olivia and I plan on being here for a while, right? Yeah. But I just wanted to kind of share that because it was really cool to have that moment with our executive board a couple days ago, and to know that we are where God wants us to be. And I wanted to kind of scare you a little bit too, because that's always fun. Now to the sermon. Do we have any Star Trek fans in here? Yeah? Up there, okay. How about Star Wars fans? Oh. It's like a... Sharks. Right? West Side Story. You can have a dance-off fight between the Star Trek fans and the Star Wars fans in the congregation. When it has come to the Star Trek versus Star Wars battle, I almost always fall in line with the Star Wars crowd. I grew up with the movies. I hated the prequels just like everybody else. I've been mostly happy with what they've done with the new films. Never really got into Star Trek. But there is something about Star Trek that has always been really fascinating to me. See, Star Trek takes place about 200 years into the future. Humanity has discovered warp speed and has been able to venture out into space, and they have discovered intelligent life beyond our own solar system. And while that may seem kind of nerdy, that idea does something to the planet. It unites everybody. The moment that the people of Earth discover there are a whole vast universe of different species, they no longer look at themselves as Americans or Russians or Scottish people or this nationality or that nationality. Just in that discovery alone, something clicks, and suddenly they are just people of Earth. Imagine that for a moment. Our entire planet united just simply as human beings. I think that's pretty cool to behold, to imagine, to wonder about. That we can just look at each other as people and not deserving of anything because of where we are from. And I got to tell you, sometimes I think maybe that's what Jesus is trying to call us into. I think Jesus might be trying to call us into something that is bigger than ourselves. I think Jesus might be trying to call us into something that just looks at those around us as human beings on the same journey on this little blue rock we call Earth. In our gospel today, as Jesus is continuing with this commandment of love, which we talked about last week as well, he says something pretty neat. There's a point where he says, "You are all my friends. I no longer call you servants, but now I call you friends." In the Greek, there are two different words that can be translated as friends. One of them is more of a patronage kind of a friendship. That's the "you scratch my back and I'll scratch your back" kind of a friendship. But then there's the other word, the one that's in this text. And this one is specifically used to describe mutual love between two people. That's what Jesus is saying to his disciples. "I now call you my friends." There is mutuality between us. There is a relationship, something founded on love. And that might sound pretty normal to us, but 2,000 years ago, this was a brand new idea in the history of human thought. For someone to be designated as God, to tell those who follow and believe in and worship that God, that "you are my friends and there is mutual love between us," was a radical thing to do. People looked at gods in this time as an entity, a deity that they owed obedience and glory to, something that they had to worship in order to incur favor and avoid wrath. The idea of having some kind of a mutual connection with the deity that you worship, that was unheard of. And it speaks volumes to the kind of God that we behold as Christians. I think God is simply trying to just call us into a relationship. And we muddy those waters when we start to categorize things, when we start to categorize what kind of Christians we are or what kind of Christians they are, what things we have to believe in to belong, what things they believe in that we say allows them not to belong. We are from this area and they are from that area. As we start to categorize and define and put up walls and boundaries, we get so focused on those dogmas that we forget. Jesus is just trying to call us into a relationship with him. Now, I'll tell you, as a pastor, as someone who left the church for a long time, this was the part that brought me back. This is the part that I come into this worship space and I celebrate and I praise God and I glorify God. It's not because I owe God my obedience, because God created the world and God created me and I just owe something to God because God is God. No. I give glory to God and praise and love and thanksgiving because of the relationship that I experience with God. Those spaces in life that bring my heart into vibrancy. When I encounter God's creation and beauty, when I meet a complete stranger and learn something new or develop a friendship, that's just for me, though. Those are the things that cause me to want to be here every Sunday and praise and give thanksgiving to God. And that's not the same for you. There might be different reasons that bring you into this worship space, but I'll tell you right now, if it's about dogma or belief or because you're supposed to be in church on Sundays, I don't know why. It is all about your relationship with God. How do you encounter that relationship in your life? How does God speak to you? How does God let you know that you are loved? How is your relationship with God alive? And if there are any of you in here who are thinking, oh my gosh, I don't have that, that's okay. Maybe the awareness is all that we need. If I could take our entire faith, the entire Bible, all of Lutheranism or Christianity, and boil it down to just one thing for anybody to walk away with, it's that right there. It is that relationship with God. To know simply that you are loved, that you are not alone, that in moments of anguish or pain or struggle, that God is right there with you. That's it. And then to take that relationship and then to reciprocate it. As Jesus says, my command is that you love others just as I have loved you. Well, we can't love others unless we know how Jesus loves us first. It starts right there with that relationship, with discovering that there is something bigger than ourselves, to experience it, to let it feed us and give us life, and then to turn around and look at this entire planet, this blue rock, and realize every single man, woman, and child that walks this earth, that is present on this earth, has that same gift of being loved by God, that we are all united because we are all beloved children of God. You know, I sometimes think, what if aliens did show up and they took a look at who we are as a planet? And the first thing that they saw were we were the same species, human beings, but we were constantly fighting with each other. I think maybe they would probably just leave us alone. We don't want to mess with them. They got some stuff to work out. But our faith might be that thing that ties it all together. To know that this world was so important to God that God felt the need and the desire to come into this planet as a fellow human being, to just love people, especially those who were told that they did not deserve love. Call it a Star Trek Christianity, patent pending. Nobody steal that. Actually, steal it. Use it, please. And this holds even bigger meaning for me today as a pastor, because we are going to confirm six youth today, and in the eyes of the church, these youth will become adults, which means we can now manipulate them into being on committees and council and coming to congregational meetings. These six kids, I can't call them kids anymore, have spent the last 2 years with Livier, and so for you confirmation students, I know Livier was a really, really bad taskmaster, wasn't she? Grace says no, Nolan says yes. Yeah. And they learned a lot. They learned about our creeds. They learned about our faith. They learned about Martin Luther. But as we gather as a congregation today, as we confirm them and welcome them into this faith as adults, and task them with going out into the world to reciprocate this faith with others, if I could impart anything to them, if there were just one thing that they would remember from all of this, we hope they remember more, but if there were one that you're going to take with you, it's a dual thing. It is just simply that God loves you. And I want you to always remember that, because there will be times in this world where it might feel that that's not the case, and there might be people in this world that will tell you you need to do certain things so that God will love you. But the truth is that God just loves you. And if you can take that, and your one call is to just go out and love other people, that's it. Olivia or me, do you memorize the Apostles' Creed? If I had to choose between perfect memory of the Apostles' Creed and going out and loving other people, I would always ask that you just go love other people. And if you can do just that, that one thing, just love, you will do amazing things. Each of you. And I speak on behalf of the whole congregation when I say, I can't wait to see what that looks like. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand as you are able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.